what?
I'm going to do a paper route out there.
Oh, you are.
Go right by it.
All right.
Okay, grace and peace, saints. Am I coming in okay? Okay, it's 1 week past the Christocentric Conference. It's just 7 days. Isn't that amazing? And I'd just like to start out and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. I love this sign back here. Every time I sit out there and look at this sign, it's amazing. I mean, this is God, the Son, who became a man. When I taught on the deity of Christ and was looking at the Scriptures, you run into the Trinity. Even in the Old Testament, you'll run into God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's in the New Testament also. And one of the things that totally amazes me is the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Everything in that tabernacle is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's purpose for that tabernacle was to dwell among His people. And Christ is the fulfillment of the true tabernacle in Hebrews 8. Okay? When I was driving down here, got in my car, started driving, and there was a little rattle. And I can't handle rattles. So I'm going 70 miles an hour, looking what the heck's rattling. Finally found that. I'm going to sit back up, and I'm got these little side things on your windows to keep the rain out. And it had a tiny little crack in it, and half of it flies off. And there goes $60, because you got to buy a pair of them. Okay. So then I get a tape. I downloaded tapes from the Christocentric Conference, and I stick one in, and it was Pastor Metcalf, his Sunday morning message, which was awesome. And I had just listened to it on Friday, and I don't mind. I'll listen to it over and over and over. But I was going to get a different speaker. I put it in, and it's Pastor Metcalf, Sunday morning. And I'm looking at everything, and so when I downloaded it, I just kept downloading his message, so the Lord must really want me to hear it over and over and over. And so as this is going on, I'm getting ready to listen to the tape, and he starts out talking about the pastor, Ignatius of Antioch, which he brought up at the conference. He said he's going to be tortured, ate by lions. And he's writing a letter out to the churches. And as Pastor Metcalf said, he's writing this one letter out to the brethren, have a deaf ear to anything that's not about Jesus Christ. And we'll just kick it up just a little bit because I know what Ignatius means by that because I've read him and studied him. He means the Lord Jesus Christ. God became a man. All the work that's involved and everything that is according to Christ Jesus. Because if it's not according to Christ, we savor the things that be of men and not the things that be of God. So, I'm driving along, you know, putting the tape in and he's got that far. And I just pulled a little thing out of my console to make sure my ticket was there to pay the toll. I always want to make sure where it is. As you get older, you always want to double check stuff and say, yeah, okay, it's there. So as soon as I open it up, it slid in back of the tray and back of the console, and this tray doesn't pull out. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is bad, because then you got to pay the whole toll for the whole turnpike. And I'm driving down the road, and like I said, you're going to 70, and I'm just looking at this thing, and I'm trying to figure out how it's going to come out of here, because I've worked on cars my whole life, and I'm looking at the mechanics of this thing. And I'm like, this is not good, you know. And you're praying as all this is going on. Okay, and finally got it out, broke the thing a tiny, tiny bit. You really can't tell, okay? But I got that out, thank God, so I'm going to get a drink of coffee, and I spill coffee all over me here, you know? And I'm like, what in the world's going on? Did you ever have a misunderstanding, a husband and a wife? Okay? Parents between children, brother between brother. Okay? When Russ taught, he taught on love one another as I loved you. Simple command. Okay? But especially between in the marriage, I mean, we know that sometimes maybe a wife will get upset because she misunderstood our intentions or vice versa, or however that goes. And that's why I wore this shirt today. I wore this thing for 15 or 20 years. It says, one by one. God is one. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all involved in redemption. Okay? But you're going to get upset with me, Bruce. And you're going to deal with me not according to Christ. Who's in me? Christ. Who's in you? Christ. Bruce, he might come up to rebuke me in love. Or he just might react in his flesh. And there's this tear now in the body of Christ between these two individuals. Why? Okay. I was going to ask Matthew to come up for a little example, if you can come up now, Matt. Are you dead and buried with Christ according to the Scriptures? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. You are dead with Christ in Colossians chapter 3. When Christ our life shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him. You're dead and buried with Him. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's why I got your shirt on. Okay? If you could lay down here, Matthew. Okay, just shut your eyes. Don't say nothing. Just ignore me. Okay? Matthew is dead. See? Dead and buried with Christ as a brother. Right? He's dead. You are dead. Okay? I'm going to read it out of Colossians just so I don't mess it up. Colossians 3:1. Okay. Since then, it says if you are, but it's really the Greek word for since. Since you then are risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. According to your flesh, this old Joe Hiranica, I'm to be crucified. And it's a learning experience. Okay? Matthew's dead. According to his flesh. Okay? So I can come up and talk about Matthew. Matt McKelvey's a great guy. He's one of the greatest Christians I ever met. I mean, love one another. Boy, Matt does it. You need help? Matt's there. You can't offend Matt. See that? He's dead. He's not hearing this. Flip side of that. I hate Matt McKelvey. I never liked him. I never really liked him as a brother. He ripped me off one time. He did stuff behind my back. He slandered and he gossiped. He's dead to all this. Dead to all that. He's not going to hear it. Okay? Yeah, we hear stuff. But you're to be dead. Okay? Resurrection life. We're to live in Christ. Resurrection life here. And the only person that can minister resurrection life to us is Christ Himself. In Revelation, when John sees him, he turns around, falls at his feet, is dead. He's not getting up unless the Lord touches him. Okay? So he touches him. Resurrection life. Walk in resurrection life. Walk in newness of life. Thank you, Matt. Okay? So, when all these things go on, somebody offends you. Somebody hurts you. Especially if it's somebody close. You know, why don't you forgive them right away? Why don't we? Why don't we forgive them right away? Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Okay? The Lord's Prayer. Well, it's for the disciples. For me, the Lord's Prayer is in John 17. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses. For we also forgive those who trespass against us. I'm not talking about going up and rebuking somebody in love. Okay, but little things that trip us up. Whatever that may be. And to have the forgiveness there ready. Ready for them. They're nailing the Lord to the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what we're doing. A lot of times things happen between people. They don't know what they're doing. Okay? Love one another as I have loved you. Okay? It's a simple command and we do fall there. But one point I want to get across today. Okay? When you look at your spouse, do you see Christ there? Really? When the next time you get upset with somebody, especially a spouse, or your kid as they're growing, okay? You need wisdom to deal with that. But do we see Christ there? Do we see Christ there? And reason, I brought some of the things up that were happening to me on the way down here, okay? Proverbs 18:10 talks about the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are exalted or set on high. Christ is the one who set on high. He's the one who exalts us. Okay? You want to be exalted? Take the low place. Be humble. And the humble one is the teachable one, according to the Scriptures. Okay? But the name of the Lord is of great strength, is the way the Greek Septuagint reads it. The righteous run into it and are exalted. They're safe. They're set on high. So all this is going on with my car driving down here. That's where I run to. When I said that verse, how many of us think about ourselves running into it? And we do. You know, if there's a little rift between two brothers, parent, child, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, husband, wife, whatever. If you're focused on Christ, this one's running. Okay? He's running. The righteous run into it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Is of great strength. You're running into it. And so is the other one if you had the argument with. And sometimes we ask the Lord to deal with that one and it's like, no, Lord, deal with me. Sometimes the Lord lets that stuff happen so we grow. So we grow. Okay? But the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. Now when I say that, okay, Russ, did you think about Matt when I said that? Okay? See, we become focused on, this is for me. And it is. Okay? Matt, did you think about Bruce when I said that? Okay? Greg, did you think about Donna when I said that? Okay? We get focused, but when I'm looking at my brother, the righteous running, he's righteous. He has Christ in him. Okay? It's for me. It's for him too. See, it's a body of Christ thing. It's a body of Christ thing. Greet the friends by name. And that means, you know, our first name. And an old saint, a lot of years ago, Oliver B. Green, always said something. There's one interpretation of Scripture, many applications. Greet the friends by name. Hi, Matthew. See, but the other name I'm thinking inside, Christian. That's the name. How do I know he's a Christian? Based upon his confession of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's my brother. He's Christian. He has Christ in him. Christ in him. Bruce, I should be Christian. Brother. How can I build him up? How can I edify him? How can I pick him up? Especially when he's down. especially when you blow it. Let's say you lost your temper and a spouse got mad at another spouse. Okay. Who's going to pick you up? Who's going to pick you up? The Lord. The righteous fall seven times a day. And the Lord picks them up. See, we run to this name. The name of the Lord, Yahweh. I am the Lord Jesus Christ. We run to Him. And we're placed in Him. We've been in Him. Okay? That was one thing I was thinking about through the week. Is sometimes, you know, I'll take verses for me. But we forget they're for the other person too. Okay? And we can become a little bit selfish like that. Not even knowing it. Okay? But, you know, the body of Christ is special. It really is. Christ in them. Christ in me. Christ in Amy. Christ in Bob, Scott, Ruby, Alex. Christ in you. How am I going to take them and build them up? How am I going to minister to Him? The things that be of God and not of men. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the things that be of God. Because Peter rebukes them there. We know in Matthew, I think it's chapter 23. No, maybe 16. Yes, chapter 16. He's preventing them from going to the cross, and I don't want to go through that cross. This dead man wants to get up and react in his flesh and not according to Christ. Because when you act according to Christ, you're going to find out what resurrection life is like, because He is resurrection life. You're learning what He is and what He's like. And one thing I noticed this last conference for me, because I sat way in the back. I usually don't sit back there. I watched all the people serving. Okay? All the people that made cookies, coffee, simple things. They're serving Christ. It's a body thing. Okay? The people that got up here, they spent... Did you labor and study, Russ? It was laborious. Okay? What they're doing is laborious. Okay? All the people that prayed for this. And I'm sitting back, I'm watching all the people sitting there. Okay? And they're an example to me. And they're just, man, every day they're watching, they're looking. Okay? I'm like, wow. But God opens your eyes up somewhat to the body of Christ. Okay? Back to the tabernacle, that temple, the temple. The Jews got bogged down with that temple, that building, that structure. That was their place of worship initiated by God. Okay? It was an offense to them. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. This temple took 40 years to build. You're going to build it in 3 days? But it's an offense to them. Okay? Remember when Stephen got stoned? Let's go to Acts chapter 7 here. There's just a few things I'm going to point out because this starts in Acts chapter 6, okay, and 7. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him, caught him, Stephen, brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place, this temple, this synagogue. See, they're focused on a building, this place of worship. Okay? For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. But they're bringing him in. You're getting drug away. Okay? Because you're taking away Lord Jesus Christ's assembly. That's my place of worship. Now, Christ is our place of worship. He's worship in reality. This is true worship. You won't worship in John chapter 4 at Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim, because the hour is come and now is that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What Christ is doing, He's presenting Himself. I'm the place where you worship now. I'm the temple. Not that building. And so, Stephen, they drag him away for this. You're coming up against that person's building. Their place of worship. Okay? In Acts 7:46. And he's just going on, he's just summing up the Old Testament. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, says the Lord? And what is the place of my rest? Has not my hands made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did also. Christ is the true temple. He's the true temple. He is the tabernacle. Hebrews 8 chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 2, I'm sorry. Starting verse 1. Now of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. See, Christ is our place of worship now. A living, resurrected Christ. That place of worship involves God becoming a man. That place of worship, the altar of sacrifice, the altar of burnt offering, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The empty tomb, He's not here, He's risen. He's risen. Resurrection life. This is our place of worship. We come together to learn Christ, to study Christ. So when you get rubbed the wrong way, something don't go according to my plan, however small it is, and you revile back somehow or say an unkind word, or you just pout and mope, and you ignore your spouse or your child or whatever. See, we run. The righteous run to that high tower, the name of the Lord. That's where we go. And we be open to Him to be corrected. Because the apostles are always getting corrected. We also need to get corrected. Love one another as I loved you. That's a learning process. Jason, will you be patient? The patience of Christ with your spouse for her to grow? Will you lay down your life for me, Russ, that I may grow and learn more of Christ? Will you give up your rights, Greg, for your spouse to teach him Christ? See, that's what it comes. The Lord, it cost Him something. God from heaven comes down. It cost Him to lay down His life. Won't it really cost you something? Okay? Donna started college. It cost us something. Really did. Okay? And I'm, you know, it's not like you had a lot of money. It's like, stuff's going. You take your plans and junk them. You're laying down your life for that person. And one of the reasons I wanted her to come to Indiana so she could come to assembly. You know? But you lay down your life. So it's not about college over here. It's about her coming to hear Pastor Metcalf and the fellowship and grow. That's what it's about. The education, a little bonus. Okay? But that's laying down your life for that. It's going to cost you. It's going to hurt you. When the Lord laid down His life, it hurt Him. Okay? You read the Psalms, and He's the song of drunkards at the gate. It's not true. He's getting a slander. It's not true what they're saying. How would you like to go into work every day, and all the people at work, Greg, are saying, here comes that drunkard, but you don't drink. How's it going to make you feel? Christ knows what that feels like. That's why we run to the name of the Lord, that strong tower, that place of great strength. He knows. He's misunderstood, even by His disciples. He knows. He's focused on the Father. Eyes glued there. Okay? So He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. He knows what it's like to be gossiped about. He knows what it's like to be slandered. He knows what it's like to be hit. He knows. He knows what it's like to not be believed, to be walked on. He knows what it's like to speak truth in love. He knows what it's like to minister grace and truth. He knows. That's our reality. This true place of worship, the temple. He's got this resurrected physical body. It's the temple. It's the temple. Okay, in Ezekiel, okay, 48 in verse 35, this talks about the finality of the temple. And some people take it to the last days, the millennial kingdom, and different things like that. And I think it's bigger than that. Okay? For it says, the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there. See? The temple reveals God Himself. The Lord is there. When you're preaching, teaching, focused upon, thinking upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is there. God's there. Yahweh Shammah. He's there. That's what Stephen is telling them. The Lord's not there. He's not there. He's been crucified, buried, risen. That's the temple now. That's the place of worship now. We come and we worship. Okay? The song we sang, okay? I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Okay? God has hands, they got crucified. We glory in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about Him. Okay? I sing for joy at the work of His hands. Alex, are you a work of His hands? You are. You are. Every one of us is the work of His hands. We're a work in progress, yes, learning Christ. So, when I look at Alex, can I sing for joy at the work of His hands? Alex offended me. Can I go up to him one-on-one as a brother and tell him what I did? Nobody else? Okay? I rejoice at the work. Do we really rejoice at the work of His hands when it comes to the body of Christ? Okay? It gets real. Okay? The Lord in the midst of thee is mighty. He will rejoice over you with joy, with singing. He will rest in His love. The finished work, Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, risen again, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Here comes Russ. Here comes Bruce, Amy. You ever think God's singing over you? Isn't that amazing? Really, it should humble us. You come home, does your wife send you to come and start singing? Okay? But our God does. He, you know, it's amazing. Everything, God's coming down to man. Everything's God's coming down to man. Genesis 1:1, you got a condescending, a descending God. Why? So we can fellowship with Him. Fellowship. When I'm fellowshipping right with Him, I'll fellowship right with every believer here. It'll be right. It won't be off. I fellowship with you in my flesh, I'm off target. I fellowship with you in my flesh, and you hurt me, it's going to hurt me. And I'm going to react in my flesh. See, to walk in love, to love one another as I loved you, is to learn Christ. To learn situations. We're studying this person. We learn how to respond. And you respond to me, do I take the rebuke? Do I take the correction? Let the righteous smite me. It'll be a kindness. Your gentleness has made me great. Okay? These are things that be of God, because God becomes a man. The right place of worship. This dress about the temple is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the temple. Okay? And we of Him. Okay? And remember when Genesis chapter 11, they're trying to build the Tower of Babel that reaches up to heavens, man's way. They're coming man's way. Okay? In this tower, you ever see the wedding cakes where you got like a big square and then the next part's more small and the next part gets a little bit smaller and the next part gets a little smaller, the next part gets a little small. They're building this tower because it's got to have a base, a structure. That's a man-made structure that's not of God. Okay? And the gods are going to come down these big, gigantic steps. Big to dwell with them. And God looks at it. He said, the people are now one. They can do all kinds of stuff now. And He says, let us confound their language. See, us. Okay, plural there. You've got God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working here. And it confounds their language. It's babble. And it's the same we got. That guy just babbles on and on and on and on. He's a babbler. He's a Babylonian. Okay? God's not pleased with that. He knocks it out of the way. Because God's got His temple. God's got a true temple. And that temple is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there. In my brother or sister, the Lord is there. In me, the Lord is there. My spouse, the Lord is there. Children. If they're believed, the Lord is there. That's where He's at. Okay? And, you know, God does away with Babel. Jacob has a vision. Okay? In Genesis 26. And he wrestles all night with a man. Okay? He wrestles all night with that man. And after they're all done, He calls that place Bethel, house of God. Because He says, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Okay? And that ladder to heaven, that's a stairway. It's a causeway. It ain't like, you know, a carpenter's ladder. It's this big causeway coming down to heaven, to Jacob. Okay? And it says He's seen the angels of God ascending and descending. And then when we get to John's Gospel in chapter 1, okay, and Nathanael, in whom there's no guile, okay, and Lord Jesus says, I've seen you under the fig tree. So whatever happened there must have been something big, because Nathanael worships Him. Okay? You are the Messiah of Israel. Son of God. He says, because I said that. He says, you'll see greater things than these. You'll see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. See, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills Jacob's vision he had there, that dream. He's the one who fulfills it. Okay? God was in this place and I didn't know. God is in Christ Jesus. We know that. We're blessed. I was talking to a guy at work the other day and we're sitting out there and I said, you know God's name? He said, Yahweh. I was like, wow. Nobody told me something that quick. I said, you know what that name means? He says, I am. I was like, whoa. I said, you ever find that name revealed in the New Testament? He's thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. I says, how about John 8:58 where the Lord's talking and He says, before Abraham, I am. He looked at me and said, I don't believe in a Trinity. I was like, uh-oh, okay. I says, well, what do you think about Jesus? He says, well, He's the Son of God. I said, does that mean He's God, the Creator, the Almighty, who created everything, holds everything together? He said, no. See, you have a deaf ear to that. Okay. But you just, things are happening and going on, okay. Anybody remember what I said just before that? Is it about Jacob and Christ fulfilling that? Is that about right? Okay. See, and the whole point is everything is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about the tabernacle. Okay? The glory of God filled the tabernacle when it's completed in Exodus 40. What's the glory of God? Really, what is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the glory of God. We behold the glory of God in 2 Corinthians in the face, presence of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all beholding as it were in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from degrees of glory by the Spirit of the Lord. It could be translated the Lord of Spirit. Okay? This glorious, most blessed God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the true temple, our place of worship. Okay? See if I got something here by Leviticus. Okay. Yeah, I was going to read something from Leviticus and Exodus. Okay. Leviticus 26:11. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you'll be my people. I am the Lord, your God. I am that I am, your God. Okay? Which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright. But I'll set my tabernacle among you. And I walk in your midst. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we beheld His glory. Okay? In Exodus 29:42, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yahweh, where I meet you to speak unto you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I will sanctify also both Aaron, who is a type of Christ, and his sons, us. Okay? To minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of the Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord, or I am that I am, their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God. God wants to dwell among us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Not only dwelling in us, but among us. He's dwelling among us. And these scriptures find their fulfillment in the New Testament, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other place of worship. No other place of worship. Jesus Christ is God, is big. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is big. Him buried physically, bodily, rose from the dead is big. We don't put a Babylonian garment on anything. Remember Achan? That troubler of Israel? Okay. In Joshua chapter 6, God pronounces a ban, a curse on these certain things. He says the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron. They're all mine. They'll be brought into the storehouse, the treasure house of the Lord. That treasure house is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the treasure house. Because in Him are all treasures in Colossians and wisdom found. In Him. Our place of worship. That sphere of worship. Him. And Achan took the accursed thing. You know what he did with it? Joshua chapter 6, Joshua chapter 7, if you ever want to read it. He took them, hid them in his tent, and buried them in the ground. And just wrapped them up in this Babylonian garment. God condemned the Tower of Babel. You still have this worldly religion. This Babylonian garment, it was a garment of royalty. And all the studies I've done on it links to it being purple. And you take the things of God. The gold, a type of deity of Christ. Silver, the purity of His humanity. Brass speaks of judgment, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Iron, He's coming back with a rod of iron to judge. It speaks about Him. And I'm going to bury this in the ground, in my tent, my person. I'm putting this out of sight. I'm a religious person. I go to temple. I go to church. But the Lord is not there. God has narrowed it down to a person. The Son of God. The eternal Son of God. Without beginning or end. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is there. You're in Him. I'm in Him. And the Lord is there. Jason, in you. The Lord is there. That's amazing. The Lord is there. Now I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 13. This is all speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good message of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, make a mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in His saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only this world, but also that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. What's the church? Verse 23. Which is His body. The fullness of Him that fills all in all. Okay. In Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This holy temple is being built. All of us. You can name yourself. We're part of this temple. We're part of the temple. Okay? In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 26, and then also verse 27. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Okay? The house made without hands. Individual believers are included in this. Okay? And I forgot it in my notes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. I don't think I got it in here. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? And as He's going with everything here, 6-1. Or 6-2 here. No, I'm sorry. I'm in 1 Corinthians. No wonder it read wrong. Okay. Yeah, we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord or what has in common with Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God? Who's the temple of God here? Us, the body of Christ. Jesus, right. He is the temple. Okay? But what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. We read portions that alluded to in Leviticus chapter 26. Okay. What I'm trying to end up with here is that we're the temple of God also. Jesus Christ, God became a man, crucified, buried, risen. Okay? We're buried with Him. We're risen in Him. We're to walk in this new life. He's the temple. And in the temple, you had people ministering to God in this temple. Aaron and his sons. Okay? Each one had duties to take care of the certain items in the temple. They had to provide coverings for things. This one had to get them loaded when the cloud's going to move and they're going to be going. Okay? Everybody had their thing to do. Okay? And that's the point of Jesus Christ is the temple. That's why He says, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. He's the new temple. And everybody in that temple, okay, was to give glory to God. Glory to Him. I think it's 2 Corinthians 1. I'm sorry, but it's when He speaks, for all the promises in Him, in Christ, are yes and amen. In Him, all the promises are yes and amen. To the glory of God by us. We want to give God glory. We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. As Pastor Metcalf has taught, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just saying it gives God glory. Thinking about it, Him gives God glory. We as a body learn in Christ, minister in Christ in whatsoever way. We're giving glory to God by Him, through Him. All the promises in Him are yes and amen to the glory of God. The true temple, the true tabernacle, and He's included us in Him. And that's our part of that temple. As He is, so are we in this world, is what John talks about. Okay? We're a holy priesthood, a holy nation, Peter talks about, a holy people. A special people. Peculiar people. That word peculiar means you're special. You're special. You're Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You ain't budging. You're not moving. And just holding on to that confession that Jesus Christ is God who became a man, it has great reward. Is what John also tells us too. He says, don't let that go. If anybody comes to your house and brings any other doctrine, don't tell them hi. Don't be a partaker of His evil deeds. See to it that you get a full reward. That you don't lose your reward. That's why I have that deaf ear. Have that deaf ear. If it's not according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that tabernacle, since Christ is the tabernacle, He's the foundation stone. He's the cornerstone. See, the foundation stone, God became a man. There's the foundation. You know, the whole tabernacle was, the bottom bases were built with redemption money, the atonement money, spoke of redemption. It's based on redemption. When God comes down and talks to Moses, I've heard the groanings of my people. I've come down to redeem them. Okay? Redemption. The foundation. God became a man. Redemption. Crucified. The cornerstone. The chief stone. And then you've got the capstone. Resurrection. He is risen. He is risen to the glory of God. Yea and amen. He is risen. Okay? And that's all I want to get across today more than anything else was everything comes down to this temple, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we in Him. We're all living stones placed into that temple. Okay? And each one of us has a ministry. And we'll end here soon. Okay? I wanted to read something. Okay. Remember what the Lord told them when Jerusalem they rejected Him? Your house, your temple is left unto you desolate. No life there. It's done. The veil's been torn. The veil's been rent. The old temple's done away with. New temple. Hebrews talks about we have the new altar, the Lord Jesus Christ. what they don't have no right to partake of. And that can tie into the Lord's Supper also. Okay? This new temple. Okay? And here's where we'll read these few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 22. Wherefore, 14:22, 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore, tongues are a sign, or not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not to them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, okay, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are unlearned or unbelievers, won't they say, you guys are crazy? Everybody, what happened there? Well, there's people speaking in tongues, all kinds of gibberish. He said, I don't know. He walks out of there scratching his head. Okay? And I always like what the one lady said, you know, when I asked her if she wanted to speak in tongues, and she says, no, I got enough problem with the one I already got. So, I just always loved that. Okay? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. God is there. Yahweh Shammah. Through the prophesying. If we all prophesy one by one. Okay, in Revelations 19:10. Okay, let's read it, because that's a very important verse. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see that you don't do that. I'm your fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus. To bear witness of Jesus. The testimony. I determined not to know anything among you other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The testimony of God. That's God's testimony. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined, I purpose this within myself, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You're making a determination. You got this purpose. The testimony of God. The courtroom in heaven's set. We're calling somebody to the stand. The witness stand. John says, the Baptist, okay, and I bear record, I gave testimony that this Jesus is the Son of God. He's also the Lamb of God. Everything about the temple, the sacrificial, He's the Lamb. Everything about it is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the testimony, Jesus Christ comes in. He's the testimony of God. That's our testimony. Jesus Christ, God became a man, died for our sins, buried, physically body arose. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. He loves me to this extent. Why can't I love my brother to that extent? Why can't I lay my life down for my brother? Why don't we do that in our family sometimes? instead of getting mad with our spouse or whatever's going on, or your kid or whatever. To learn the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what prophecy is all about. The spirit, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. That word testimony, to bear witness to. To bear witness to Him. To focus on Him. This is my beloved Son. Hear Him. That's all. God in these last days has spoken to us in Hebrews chapter 1, the first son-wise. This is all I got to say. He's the true temple. He's our place of worship. And it's Him we want to learn. Learning how to walk in love. Corden has a new baby, and the baby's going to grow and learn how to walk, right? He's going to stumble and fall and grab onto stuff. He's going to learn how to walk. Russ, can you pick me up and help me learn how to walk? Can you pick me up and help me learn how to walk? Can I pick you up and help you learn how to walk? How shall two walk together except they be agreed? This testimony of Jesus Christ, that's what we are agreed upon. That's it. Now, I've been a believer since I was 20. Now I'll be 56 pretty soon. All these years, and I'm not boasting, I'm very humble about this, is you're still excited about hearing the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. God became a man. He loved me. He died for me. Peter denies Him 3 times, you know. He rises up and said, go tell Peter. Somebody offends me that bad. All my brethren, they all run away. You leave me alone. You denied me 3 times. You denied me 3 times. Matthew. Don't tell Matthew. That's our Lord's heart. That's our Lord's heart. And when He confronts Peter, he's picking him back up and putting him back into ministry. You're the man. He's picking him back up. He's initiating him. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Putting them back up there. That's our God. So He picks us up. And we learn that way and we grow. We're going to blow it. And the Lord says, you've been forgiven. You go home to that spouse, kid, or you're forgiven. If I offend you, Greg, and you see Christ in me, how are you not going to forgive me? But then you're going to go to church every day. Okay? Really, we don't go to church. We assemble together because the people are the church. The people are the temple, the body of Christ. He's the structure, and we're in Him. So to learn about the true temple, the true tabernacle, our Lord Jesus Christ, to Him be all glory, praise, and honor. So Father in heaven, we thank You for this time together, and just minister to each and every one of our hearts what needs to be ministered to, and help us to keep our eyes glued upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our most blessed God and glorious Savior, be all praise, glory, and honor. Amen.